Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everybody in the world today. And it could be any one of, anywhere in the world, because we're also called Pagan World. And if you haven't seen, we changed out the logo, finally, to a great logo made by Marianne K. Design. I always like it. It's a glow with all the flags on it. I always thought that was a very good one. So, and I am here with my co-host.
Yes.
Neil.
Yes. Oh, yes. What a day.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about continued quarantine today. I think for me, the quarantine came home last night. The Florida finally closed its doors. Made it a little bit more official. I guess everybody's getting a little bit more official. And I guess people are getting ready for a larger set of situations. Okay, I want to talk about a little bit about the CARE Act that's out there. So pay attention to the CARE Act. If you're a merchant who's made money as a merchant, everybody's going to get a kind of a check from the government, so like $1,200 or so. But if you're a merchant and a self-employed merchant and you've lost your ability to make money, check in your state. You can apply for unemployment services. So, yeah. Isn't that amazing? You can apply for unemployment services. Yeah.
You can prove that.
Just have expanded it. Take a look at the CARE Act. But unemployed, they're going to allow for the first time some unemployed people to come on to it, to get them some extra cash. And if you have a business that has employees, they're also giving out loans. A little bit of a risky loan, but if you can prove that you can keep your employees working for 8 weeks with the loan, they turn it into a grant. Okay? So if you're a metaphysical shop out there with employees, take a look at that grant.
Right.
So absolutely, you should absolutely consider it because, I'm a pagan or no one's going to pay attention to me, or I have a metaphysical shop. It includes them. If you own a restaurant, a coffee shop, all you have to do is be able to use that money in part for other things, but you have to be able to keep your employees at the same level you've had them for 8 weeks, and they'll turn it into a grant. So go ahead and apply for that. So take a look at the CARE grant. I'm hoping to have more information about it as they solidify it, but I think it's a very important thing for merchants to know that. Today they came out with the unemployment records, which is 6.6 million people have applied for unemployment, the highest in history. So
yep. They're having problems in Kansas and Missouri. The system crashed. The unemployment system crashed online yesterday, and they're having problems keeping up with the amount of numbers of people trying to apply.
Well, that makes sense. Absolutely.
That's the amount of people that are trying to call in and get things set up is just off the charts.
Okay. Absolutely. And that makes sense. So we have two more festivals to add to the system that have canceled. Three Gates Gathering in Plains, yes, West Plains, Missouri.
Missouri, yes.
It's canceled there for this year. And Pagan Unity Festival has now canceled as well.
Okay. Wow.
And so they've in the last 24 hours, they've made a decision to cancel. I'm still waiting to hear more from Tish Owens about the Pagan Unity Festival. And I've heard personally from Alfred Willhawk about them. They're not going to, the fact is that their quarantine, I guess the Missouri quarantine looks like it may last to June 1st in a lot of ways, I've heard. So it's only set, they're not expecting to lift it until June 1st. That's what he was expecting. So he's not going to take that risk.
Well, from what I've been hearing is Missouri, Arkansas, which they sit on the Missouri-Arkansas border, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota is the only three or the only five states that has not issued a stay-at-home order.
Mm-hmm.
But the population areas in Missouri, which would be Kansas City and St. Louis, their major counties have issued it. And we're still waiting for those are supposed to be lifted the 21st
mm-hmm.
of April. So, but they're all talking about they could be lengthened, but there's nothing been done by the governor yet. This is all local, city, and county. Is what we've all been told.
Okay. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, so I've been looking at the numbers. I have, again, we've avoided the political aspects of this.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, I've told we've not gone with the politics of it. I'm very serious about that because I think it's not really super useful. Of that or how government's handling it or not handling it. I don't know that it's helpful for us as we're trying to help out merchants and people do it. We're just going to live with the consequences, as I say.
Yep. That's all we can do.
Right. And so, and part of that, because one of the things and what I'm going to mention, and people, a lot of people are saying, oh, this is all false and everything else. And I have my attitude towards not that the virus is false or that it's thing is the way we've reacted is definitely poorly. We've reacted poorly. Either we didn't do enough or whatever you want to say it. But I've seen the numbers they're talking about. If the numbers are half true, we're about to see in the next 30 to 45 days war level casualties. I mean, like a major war, like bigger than World War. We're going to lose more people in the next 6 weeks, and we lost in World War One.
Yep.
That's going to be tremendous, possibly even World War Two. But that was a different war. That was a very mechanized war. There's a lot of different things. But from the United States' point of view, we're looking at losing more people than we lost in World War One, more people than lost in Vietnam, more people lost than we do from the flu or any other purpose.
Uh-huh.
So I guess that's one of the things, quarantine. And so there's going to be a lot of people who says, well, how can you still help merchants and do all this thing? And the answer is very simple. We got to keep, you know, got to continue. I know there's a lot of merchants out there who are hurting and things of that nature. And while we've been talking to them, I also know that trying to get some of them on, a lot of them are depressed. So depression seems to be the biggest problem we're dealing with right now. That and households being taken over by materials and, you know, people are trying to do photographs and they're feeling overwhelmed. And I get that. And so I tell everybody, progress over perfection. Just do what you can. Hmm?
Yep. That's what I'm
saying.
And get,
are you? Okay. Yep. It's tough.
Yes,
it really is tough. Absolutely. And there's no question about it being tough.
My house looks like a disaster right now.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, everything that usually goes out on the road isn't. And to get the website built and get pictures and do everything, I have to have complete and accurate inventories of everything. And at the same time, go through and pull my road stock, do all the things I would do to prepare for the road too, besides everything else. So yes, it is difficult. It's a lot more time consuming and you move this to move that, to do this, to move it again. you keep retouching things because it's in a constant flow and change with how much space you have and what you can stack where. So, yes, yes, it is. It is very time-consuming and interesting on all the levels that I've never had before. So, yes, working from home and doing all of this makes interesting times.
I bet it has, and it does. So how are you? I mean, you're working. I know you're working at your pizza job. Pizza delivery people are, you know, delivery people have become the new heroes. I've been seeing a lot of comments about that. And I thought that was very fascinating. Yeah, we get some food delivered to us in the form of pre-made meals. Not pre-made meals. Prep yourself meals. That's what I'm doing. Preset meals. You know, they give you the recipe and you cook it yourself. We get some of that.
Uh-huh.
And we've been doing. Yesterday we raced out. I got a new microphone for the piece.
Oh, nice.
Right. So yeah, I'm using it right now. It's a headset with a microphone. I used it this morning. Because Best Buy, you know, and Best Buy was very interesting. You had to tell them what they want, and they sent somebody in the store, and you were at the door.
Uh-huh.
And that was like, wow, really? And so I thought that was interesting. And they went in
Micro
and got
Center.
It.
Micro Center here in Kansas City is the big computer store.
Mm-hmm.
And they are only letting 10 people in the store at a time and having everybody wait in their cars in the parking lot. And then you get your text message to move up to the line, and they have 10 slots 6 foot apart in front. When they get the first 10 out of the store, they wipe everything down and bring the next 10 people into the store. So,
God, you feel like you're in.
It's quite a operation for everything now.
Yeah. And I've been talking about how this is going to change things afterwards. And I think it's going to absolutely change the way we deal with things, obviously. So.
I think we're going to see a lot more online, that people are going to still go out and shop and do things, but they're going to use the computer online services even more because they've got used to that. And that's one thing they don't have to go out and do.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think that's a fascinating idea. I've even started asking how this is going to change different parts of the community and everything else. I mean, people are asking about it. So, you know, I think it's going to be a combination of things. I think people are going to be cleaner. I think people are going to be more careful. But, you know, the pagan community is a hugging community. It is by nature. We're a touchy community. I was talking to somebody about it. I mean, I think we're like one of the things I think people like about the pagan faith of various types. I'm not saying that every pagan group and every pagan faith is like this, but there is definitely a desire to highly contact our circles. We hold hands. I was just thinking about how many times we touch each other inside the pagan community. We hug a lot. There's rooms for even more intimate relationships, and I don't mean necessarily sexual, but sitting next to people, you know, you're allowed to hug them. There's more, you know, kisses, you know, kissing on cheeks, kissing on lips, people, you know, show the pagan community more than any other religious group I know, show affection and attention.
Oh, yes, by far. By far.
Mm-hmm. And so I was going to ask you, has that been your experience that as a community, as a religious community, they are very affectionate to each other as a community.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
The only other one that I could say, and it's not a religious community, would be the motorcycle community.
Okay.
because you hug your brother and, you know, you have contact, I guess is how I want to put it, you know? So, yeah. The pagans are very touchy-feely in lots of ways. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess it to the point that there's a male, it's not just, you know, attention between men and women or just, you know, hugging. I also think there's a lot of attention between men and women, but they're also between men. I mean, this idea of just what I mean by intimate is not sexual, but, you know, I hug a lot of people. I am not a hugger by nature. I've learned how to be a hugger. And so people come up to me all the time and give me a hug. And it's like, okay, I'm an urbanite. I'm an Aquarian urbanite by nature. And in Chicago, you don't go up and hug people that often. You just don't.
Right.
So, yeah, no, you just don't. Not in the city. I mean, I hate to say it, but city people... Yeah, so then, yeah, we just don't. But at pagan festivals, I find out that I had to learn. They actually taught me how to hug a lot. So I thought that was interesting. And so that's an interesting aspect of it. And so I think I'm hoping it doesn't cause fear to touch. My biggest fear out of all of this is that people are going to fear to touch. And how does this affect merchants? Let's get back to where you're at. And so, you know, people may not want, you know, both merchants. If you're a germaphobe and a merchant, you're going to have a really hard time out of here. Because I guess people touch stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know you let people try things on, right? When you do it.
Yeah.
And if they don't buy it, you just kind of put it back on the shelf. Up to this point, that's been perfectly normal behavior.
Right.
I hope that doesn't go away.
That is something that is going to yet to be determined and seen what the world does. The world keeps changing. And this is going to change a lot. There's lots of ways we used to live that's going to go away, I'm afraid, at the end of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to have to see changes on that. So I can imagine that festivals having a lot more hand sanitizers, a lot more wipes, you know, that sort of thing. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I'm wondering how we're going to re-engage. So I actually do it because this is important to merchants as much as it is to festivals and other things. How are we going to re-engage ourselves into being an intimate community, a affectionate community in these sort of things when we're afraid of the viruses? I think people are going to look at each other differently after this, and maybe to a negative, maybe to a positive. But at this point, we haven't really cared that much about viruses. We've had such good medical attention. We've had such good medical energy that we have never had a fear of it. Mm-hmm. After all, at some pagan festivals. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look at the drumming circles and stuff. You know, water jugs get passed around. They pass the bags of wine around. There are several things, you know, passing a ball of meat around in a group. All those things may change after this, you know?
Right. Absolutely. So I think that's going to be – I think that's one of my fears as a merchant in the quarantines, that we're going to see this. But you guys can call in 516 516- 453-9948. You know, I've sent out some messages and things like that. I know that we're still working on getting the show out, and I want to thank everybody who's been listening. We've had, for a young show, we've had a really great turnout so far. So thank you, everybody who's made this possible. On Pagans Tonight, we're going to be doing more stuff over the weekend. It's pretty amazing stuff, so we're going to do that. So we're still looking at that. And I know that a lot of people are disappointed. I mean, I know people are disappointed about festivals. I know people, you know, the people I feel most sorry for, the seniors in high school. Because I was thinking about, you know, they were born 19 years ago. Some of them are graduating 18 years ago, 19 years ago. You know, some of them are graduating or living in a world where this is the second big disaster they've had in their lives that changed the way they work.
You know, I work with a bunch of them. And a lot of them, there's some schools have flat out canceled proms. Other ones have pushed them back. And all the things that we think of as normal, going to prom, walking across the stage to, you know, get your blank piece of paper, but it's graduation. And all these things, there's a couple of them that are kind of freaking out about it because they're probably not going to get that at all. Mm. And the rest of the world up till now, that's almost been a rite of passage, you know, to go to the arena, go to the gymnasium, wherever they're having graduation, and walk across that stage. And they may not have that opportunity. And I know one of the girls is very upset over this. So, yes, I see it. I see it from their point of view. It's like what they have spent their 17, 18 years of life to do, they don't get it.
Yeah. My lady love, Marianne has got a grandniece who's really upset about it. And my daughter, whom I guess it's probably known now, is pregnant, 9 weeks pregnant. And she's, because and she's worried a little bit about all of this, so it's hard. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So yes.
Well, the other one is senior pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Senior pictures haven't been taken yet, so they're looking at not having senior pictures either,
mm-hmm.
and prom pictures. So yeah, all these rites of passage that up till now have been observed and done, we're looking at a set that not going to have that, possibly.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm just going to bring them in. Hopefully they're not, that. And here we go. Hi, 612. Who are we speaking with?
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing? My name is Michael. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, no problem, Michael. How can we help you today?
Yeah, I was just I just came across your show page on Blog Talk Radio, and I noticed it's called, I believe it's the Pagan Merchant, if I'm not mistaken. And so I just wondering,
absolutely.
So are you pagan? Is that, or is that just by the title, or?
No, absolutely, we're pagan. Of the religion, we're various faiths, but within the pagan religion. But yes, we identify as pagans, and particularly our show is about helping out the merchants that have been missing on the festival and other aspects of it. But absolutely. Did you have a question about paganism? Is that what it is?
Yeah,
or?
It's interesting because I used to be an atheist for most of my life, and I became a Christian recently. And so I'm just wondering, like, where did you come to, how did you come to the decision? Is this something that recently, or when did you come to the decision of embracing paganism and, like, having those beliefs?
Well, I came out of a very Christian background myself, and I've been a pagan. I've been a pagan priest for more than 25 years, so I came out of it a very long time ago. And so, yeah, and I appreciate it. I came a very long time ago. And it really was came out of these times because of the idea of I came out of a very Christian Armageddonist apocalyptic ideology, and it was something that I believed that nature is all the religion that I can ever understand, only God I can ever understand, goddess I can never understand, and I recognized that that was a very important part of my life, and so it saved my life to become pagan from being Christian, because I came and dealt with a lot of things like the People's Temple. I lost a friend there. I almost joined it. A lot of the apocalyptic and the really dark nature of life that paganism for me is a life of an eternal belief. So that's how I came to it. How about you, Neil?
Oh, I was raised as a Baptist. My father found spiritualism, who introduced me into the spiritualist side. And then I was a spiritualist up until my early to mid-20s, and I was introduced into the paganism, and it's not a big stretch from spiritualism to paganism in lots of ways. So that's how I became, and I've been involved for 25 to 30 years. Yes.
Yeah, I've been involved with being pagan for more than 30 years, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And you mentioned the People's Temple. Now, I think you would acknowledge that June, like, what was the name? June Jones or Jim Jones?
Jim Jones,
Jones.
I actually know this. I know the
yeah.
Christopher.
Yeah, I think you'd agree that they're clearly they're not Christian. I mean, you wouldn't define that as a Christian group.
Oh, no,
I
define
Jim
them
Jones
absolutely.
Famously.
No. We're not going to get into a political conversation here, but absolutely they were Christian. They identified as Christian. They're definitely Christian. Absolutely.
But Jim Jones declared that he is God. Come on now. I mean, I understand, like,
so,
if you talk to, like, a nominal Christian would, like, hear that. And
no.
Say,
that,
of course, you know.
We're
but
not,
come on now. Like, someone who knows the
we're
Bible
not gonna get into
and
that
knows
question.
Christian doctrine wouldn't fall for that. Come on.
Okay.
I mean,
I will address it.
You
so
know.
Jim Jones is the same Jim Jones is a Christian in the same way that the current Christians who are holding large-scale events at this time are willing to bring their people in to temples such as Tampa Bay, Louisiana, Kansas City. All of these Christian leaders are trying to create a religious exemption to bring in hundreds, if not thousands, of people into their churches at a time of coronavirus. And we've now seen that a number of churches have had people die from these sort of gatherings, such as the choir. And when that happened, they're putting their people at risk. So there's the belief in God that is going to be able to cure them or heal them is one of those things, or somehow gauge them, is kind of the same behavior. But I'm not here to argue one religion versus another. Everybody has a right to practice their religion in America. That's it. Everybody has a right to practice their religion in America, and we're so grateful for that freedom. It's an amazing freedom we have.
Yes, it is.
So,
given by Christians, by the
way. No, no, I'm not going to get into this argument.
Yep.
So thank
you
very
much. Well,
it's not
an argument. That's historical.
And with that, we're not going to get into we said right from the beginning we weren't going to get into political conversations. And this is one of the problems I think we're having. Pagans always face this. That other people feel like they have a right to interfere with our spaces. And I don't think we're going to give that guy – thank you for calling. I really super appreciate it. And we're going to move on.
Oh, yeah.
But I am thinking about doing the Last Act of the Apocalypse show. I may start that even tonight, late night show. Because I love, so people don't understand, I really love the apocalypse, which means the unveiling versus Armageddon, which is the war. I love apocalyptics. I do. I know a lot about them.
Yes,
that's
studied
what
them.
I have. I'm an expert of eschatology. One of my first books was out by Echaton Press. I've studied the Echaton, the end of the world. And I think one of the things that people don't understand, and I think a lot of people are really caught in that psychology right now, that this is going to be the end of the world. That this is like a thing. And the truth is that pandemics is like the human condition. Actually, I think one of the best things I think about our history is that we're so freaking out about this one, is that this used to be very commonplace. I mean, people talk about the Black Plague, and they think it would like ran through the culture, but it took 25 years before it had gotten all its victims, and people were able to build up their herd immunity to it.
Yeah, it wasn't just something that came and went. It had a long-term effect.
And people don't remember polio. I think this is one of the biggest crimes we have against people. And I think the anti-vaxxers are going to do – I'm going to get into a little politics. It is a quarantine show. We did mention ahead of time quarantine. But polio, I have a dear friend whose father ended up in a chair for his whole life because of polio. We had a president who was stricken down by polio. We had people in iron lungs. The same situation we have today with coronavirus, we had in the 50s, in 40s and 50s, with iron lungs for polio, measles, scarlet fever. And one of the things, smallpox, and one of the things that America and other nations invented, we invented were vaccines. We learned how to create a vaccine. And because of it, we don't fear those diseases anymore. Smallpox has been eradicated. So I think what people don't understand about the difference between paganism and a lot of other faiths is pagans by nature are, well, they believe in spirits and they believe in a lot of things that people would say, oh, it's hokey, or magic is hokey, it's not real, it's not real, it's not real, is that we believe in science. I mean, our sciences became other people's – our magic became other people's sciences. Alchemy, the purity of the soul, became the principles for chemistry. Astrology became the principles of astronomy. And once we get into this idea of scientific basis, we see that they tried to divide where the origins of it is, i.e., you pull the root up of chemistry and you find alchemy. If you pull up the roots of astronomy, you see astrology. You see, when you see the idea of medicines, you pull up herbalism and wildcraft women and all of that. You do. So the idea of our sciences is really began in something called, I tell people all the time, everything starts in our imaginations and become magical subjective, meaning we attempt it. Now shamanism, you know, you're hearing about mushrooms coming back, about psychedelics making a comeback, because they're scientifically proven to be good for depression, good for all of this. And yet we've always known it. So this is a culture clash we're having. And so the things that we have believed in is now coming back around and saying, oh, there's some real basis to it. So I think people think that pagans come to their magic, witches come to their magic, heathens come to their magic, druids come to their magic by some sort of imaginary process detached from reality. But the truth is, it was all very much based on results. I mean, a shaman who could not cure his tribe didn't live for long. I mean, we were vicious. We're vicious creatures. right? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So what was considered the witches and the shamans and stuff were actually early practitioners of herbalism in lots of ways. They were midwives. They were all understood, and a lot of that knowledge had been passed down through generation, through generation, through generation. And yes, if you didn't last long if you couldn't do what you said you could do. There's a lot of every medicine we have now was derived from a plant or a substance of some kind. Something off Mother Earth has made that medicine.
Absolutely. Just 10 years ago, they started realizing some of the medicine companies, some of the pharmaceutical companies started realizing the, you know, the wipeout of parts of the rainforest was these native tribes had a ton of medications that they lived in these very, to the white man, to the foreigner, to the outsider, were very deadly diseases. But they lived, you know, these people don't understand the rainforest is rich in life, and it seemed to be, and Africa was rich in life. But then, of course, we had all these diseases around, malaria and stuff like that. And yet the tribes people had medications and ways of living in those tribal areas where they weren't sick. And now the pharmaceutical companies, after spending decades, even centuries, with sort of the missionaries to wipe all that knowledge out, all of a sudden realized, oh, my God, we need that knowledge.
Right. Because that's where the new medicines are going to come from.
Yeah. I'm going to get into one last political statement. I despise, or I find difficult, when Christians want to interfere with pagan spaces.
Yes.
That they sought out. That gentleman said, I saw your thing, and he was going to proselytize us. He was trying to proselytize us.
Yep.
And try to make us sound like... And that when he finally got to the statement, oh, our founding fathers, you know, we're all, you know, because Christians, he said, I hate this, that Christians allowed us to have our religion. No, they did not. We have fought tooth and nail. Thank you, Selena Fox. Thank you, Starhawk. Thank you, Oberon. Thank you, Allison Firehawk of Heartland. Of so many people who fought for our right to have this religion. I have fought for our rights. People don't realize as a media fighter, I don't want to necessarily put myself in those companies, but I've fought many, many battles. Most people don't realize I've often been the first pagan reporter that fought for my rights as every other reporter, religious reporter. I was just talking for the pagan community. And I continue to do so, and our show here today is really a testament to the continued battle we have. And that's why pagan merchants are fighting. And let's go ahead and take this right to our show. I think pagan merchants are the number one, the shop, the festival, whatever it is, are the number one fighters, and we don't give them enough credit and support for being out there. So many pagan shops have been burnt to the ground because people hated them. And so many pagan. Yeah, Neil, go ahead, please.
Look at Gaia. Gaia had a major fight on staying open because of it.
Right.
That was all a religious battle, which is where Heartland is held. And they had one year, there were the. In the middle of the lawsuit, they had a backup plan to go to another piece of farm property to have festival because until the legal fight was over before festival, didn't know if there was even going to be a camp guy anymore.
And today,
because
that property is
bought and paid for.
Yeah.
So I've been there, lived through all of it. At times it's not real pretty, and I've seen communities that have come after the campground and the retreat and all of that. And at points in time, it's not very pretty, but most of them have survived.
I believe Witchfest last year had a huge Christian protest on their hands. I mean, by any standards. You know, a festival in New York, which you would think would be one of the most open-minded cities, had huge number of Christians protesting and trying to shut them down. So anyone who thinks that we're still, you know, as much as I'm that we're quaint about it, how we're, you know, that kind of happy about it, we're trying to like nonchalant. The only reason we can be this way is because of the work of those who came before us. And we must always be vigilant. And that's why I was allowed the individual we just had to talk for a little bit. And he was just trying to make out, the idea of that, you know, bad Christians aren't Christians. It's okay. We really don't care what you think is Christian or not Christian. It's not in our thing. So people don't realize I'm not a Christian. I'm not a pagan in protest of Christianity. The vast majority of pagans are not. This is one of the biggest mythologies out there. I didn't become a pagan because I disliked Christianity. I became a pagan because it gave me a new way to look at life. And that allowed me to see a better world out of there.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was more in line with my belief than any of the other mainstream, we'll call it, religion.
So, and anyone says, oh, you became a Christian because you don't like, you know, became a pagan because you dislike Christians, shut them down immediately. Go, no, there's a better faith. And the biggest difference, and then maybe this last act of the apocalypse show, I'll start to say we can touch into that. I appreciate it because I appreciate them bringing it back to why we need to preserve our merchants. Our merchants are our frontline troopers. This really brings in something that I truly believe. Our frontline troopers, they're willing to risk their own personal money, their own personal lives, their ability to function in a community to open up shops, which allow seekers to find them. And oftentimes they teach classes and even give groups space. And while a lot of people will complain about the shops being cliquish or whatever, they don't give them enough credit, in my opinion, about how good they are and how strong they are and how much they help with the community. Just as we've talked about how the merchants are often backbones to the financial support of festivals, shops are the backbone to local communities all too often.
Yeah, it gives the local community somewhere to go, and most all the owners, me, are out in public about being pagan. I know so many pagans that do not live their beliefs openly because of family, this or that. I've got friends that have two or three different Facebook pages. And depending on who you are, which group you can go into, what they can say in what group, which is just unbelievable to me. It's really amazing.
It is. And so let's talk a little bit about it. So to be a pagan merchant, or a merchant to pagans, let's rephrase it. A merchant that dedicates themselves to pagans, be it the occult bookstore in Chicago, which I think is amazing. And I'm going to be doing some, if you go to Magic TV, you can see a great interview with them. And you can see some commercials I did for some of the pagan little shops in Chicago on Magic TV, magic.tv or magictv.com or YouTube channel /Magic TV. You'll find out that we've got really some powerful things. Is that you have to first decide you spend your own money. And money is hard to come by. You know, I will tell you, I used to be very flippant about money most of my life. But as I've gotten older, I realize how valuable money is. And I don't mean valuable like I should hoard it or anything else. It's energy. I think as a pagan, we learned that money, like everything else, is energy. And pagan festivals don't run on money. They need money. They run on cooperation. And money is one of the energies that they use, but it's a lot of time, another form of energy, cooperative behaviors, sharing of resources, and a sharing of emotion. But in that, our society as a capitalistic society, and haven't we learned anything in this quarantine, just how capitalistic we are compared to the rest of the world? And pagan communities, I hate to say it, tend to be more socialist. They tend to be more cooperative.
Oh, yeah.
And we get mad at merchants because they act in a capitalist way, but there are integration between the capitalistic society and the more social aspects of paganism. I mean, already talked about how much you help out. We've talked about, and if you ever want to hear a show on Monday's show, I still think is fantastic if you're a merchant, if you're actually a camper, find out how to set up your camps. Thank you, everybody. I've gotten actually rave reviews from the show.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Oh, yeah. No. I guess I haven't talked to you. People have given us rave reviews. It says, wow, I didn't know all of that. The Walmart piece was, like, really important, and people are looking for equipment, and they're, like, people are raring to go for it. And the Paladins are going to do better. Next year we're raring to go, and I've talked a few pieces. I've actually even talked to one person along the way about doing the show, and everyone doesn't realize next year we're going to build a reality show around called Neil's Shop, I think, as we go through the festival season. And yes, I believe there's going to be a festival season next year. I do.
Oh yeah.
I don't think this is going to be a long-term pandemic. I'm praying that it isn't. I'm praying we get past it.
Yeah.
And that we'll come back. And that's why we're kind of talking about this quarantine right now. Don't let this quarantine get under your skin. I'm not saying you're not going to have grieving moments. I'm frightened of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
We actually have a member of my tradition right now. We have a number of my tradition have been sick, but I have actually a member of my tradition who's lost 3 siblings overseas from us here in the United States, in Spain and Italy. I have one individual whose job was flipping between Spain and Italy, and she's lost 3 out of her 4 siblings, from what I understand.
Wow. Wow.
Can you imagine? I can't imagine that. And the Order of Paladins, which Neil's a member of, is that we're also talking about starting to provide grief counseling and everything else. But we're still going to do this merchant show because we think that at the end of the day, having the merchants come out of this somewhat intact will be good for us. And that in a lot of ways, this will be looking back.
Yes. Yes, definitely. It will only make next year's festival season, or later on this year, if there is a festival season, stronger and better.
So, yeah. And hopefully Elfest will be held. That's one merchant. That's one group that I think is holding the ground.
Yes. From what I understand, Elfest, Appalachian Summer Solstice at Wisteria, which is PSG's old site. They're still holding out for right now so is Brushwood.
And so is PSG. So all of those are still holding out.
Right.
But
they're a little further off than everything else.
They're in June. They're in late June. But in the early June, people are starting to move away.
Yeah.
And I know that some people are looking to go online. And I am the expert of online festivals. We're going to be doing so. So let me go ahead and make an offer to everybody. If you are a merchant and you want to be a part of our illustration in some way, let me know. We're going to start building some space for that as well. And we're moving into that. And so we're going to move into that pretty hard. I'm spending a lot of time on Zoom. I'm spending a lot of time on energy and everything else. So merchants, please tell us how you're handling your thing. So Neil, you're counting inventory.
Yeah.
Which is, and so that's got to be a little difficult for you. I mean, I know you keep inventory, decent inventory all year round, but it's not the exacting nature, I guess, of online merchandising.
Yes. And I have things that I've learned over the years. There's things that you can use as road merchandise, and then there's things you can't use as road merchandise just because of the wear and tear and the temperature changes and the humidity and the rain and everything else makes it challenging.
I bet
any paper goods or anything even is real challenging on the road. So,
I can imagine. I absolutely can imagine that's got to be absolutely a challenge. Because rain would destroy, oh my God, books are expensive. People don't realize for the size they are, they're expensive.
Expensive. And the dew, something nobody understands. The dew is a killer on stuff. And there's nothing you can do other than cover everything with tarps you can do about the dew settling in your booth.
Even then, it can get underneath. If you do it too soon in the evening or too late in the evening, water gets trapped underneath there, right? Even under the tarps.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
A couple of the musical instrument people I know burn Coleman lanterns in their shop all night long just to dry everything out and keep the dew and the moisture content out of their shops to protect the instrument and the drum heads and tambourine heads and everything else that doesn't need to be wet or moist or anything else because of what it does to their inventory and stock.
Wow. You know, you don't think about all this. So we
right.
don't think about it. So Monday show, please give us a call and everything else. We're going to talk about why don't we talk about good storage systems on Monday?
Okay.
What can you do? You know, let's talk about that. Give us some merchants. So we're building a master class. When this is said and done, Neil, I'm going to talk to merchants. You should really think. How would I say
class?
A master class of this. And I think not only that, but I think that Neil should be here. I'm going to tell everybody out there, everybody who listens to me, you know, Neil Goodman should be actually considered a teacher. Do not just consider him a merchant anymore. This is the year you're going to start looking at him as somebody who can actually teach us a lot about how to do this. I think people have taken it way too flippant. I think people haven't really seen the value of this. And now I will tell you, I've known Neil now for nearly a decade. And he convinced me very, very early on the value of the merchants. And I was already been a merchant. I knew the value of merchants. Remember, I went from being a merchant to a host to doing major events to a speaker to a leader of my tradition. So I've gone through this process. And today, people ask me all the time, would you ever open another shop? I go, oh, no, 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 not me. Oh, no, 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 because I don't have a passion for it. It was an ends to the means, and I think that's something important. I didn't have a passion for it, but I've become, and I think I've always been a very big supporter of merchants.
It's definitely a labor of love, and you have to have the proper attitude to stay with it. Because it will drive you insane. there was one New York. We were in the middle of a rain and wind storm. When we walked outside the shop and looked back at the shop as the tarps are bellowing on it and kind of took a rough inventory of what was setting under it as this storm is rolling in, and it's like, what are we doing with all these almost $100,000 worth retail setting underneath this canopy in the middle of a field? So you have to be a bit crazy. You have to be a bit insane, but, you know, every genius is that same thing. So it's just a matter of opinion. And you've got to have a passion and a love for doing that.
Right.
I think absolutely. So Monday we're going to talk about, if we don't have anyone else, and believe me, you should take advantage of us. Take advantage of us. We're out here to do this stuff. We're going to talk about storage and things like that. I think we're going to talk a little bit more about how to store things. And a question I did get, I haven't talked to Neil directly, but it's probably one of the most, well, we're going to do a show about it, but I think it's one of the most difficult shows we could ever do. And that is about sourcing.
Okay.
I think it's a sensitive thing for merchants, right? Where do they source their materials? Because everybody wants to, you know.
Oh yeah.
You work hard to preserve your sourcing. So I want to do a show on sourcing without breaking confidence with merchants. And you want to know how bad it is? Merchants in Salem would tear the addresses,
the labels off their boxes, yes.
And they put them in the trash.
Yep. And dispose of them or burn them elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to talk about how you can find sources without interrupting that. But on Monday, we'll talk about storage, and maybe we'll talk about sourcing next week. And that'll probably be one of our more difficult shows, I think, sourcing. I think we can give people ways to source their materials without breaking confidences.
Right.
It is hard, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Finding something that everybody else doesn't already have, because there's very few sources out there for something.
Absolutely.
And the closer you can get to coming into country, the better prices you get.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
I guess so, folks. This is the first show in the history of all the pagan shows that you can get close to discussing and learning about the merchant class. And the reason is, in part, most merchants, when they go on the air, and I know some of them, they don't like talking about their business. They talk about what they do, but they don't talk about their business. Christian Day is about to do a major show about being witchcraft as a career. I think that's going to be very interesting. He's charging $40 for it online. We're going to be doing a lot more of it. Everything else. But Neil, how can they get a hold of you? How can they get your coaching? How can they get you to help them?
You can reach me. I am on Facebook as Neil Goodman. You can find me on Facebook. Go and look for Go to Neil Shop. And here coming, hopefully, in the next few weeks, you can go to gotoneilshop.com and message me through the website. But you can always message me through Facebook, either through the shop page or my personal page, with any questions or anything else you may want to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the best way to get a hold of me.
Absolutely. And if you're in Kansas City, you can go and you know, Neil's out there, but you can't go anywhere because you're in quarantine. So we're going to be in quarantine for the next 30 days. There's no question about that.
Yep.
So come and join us. We're doing shows. And if you want to do a Pagan World show, I don't know if you saw our new logo. Kind of cool. We will be happy to do shows with you. It is kind of cool, isn't it? It was the other one.
I like
the alternative
flags.
Isn't it? Yeah. Either that. Yeah, I do too. Marianne Kay did a great job. If you wanted to sign on, things like that. But we're going to continue on this. And folks, how can we help you? We're here really to serve you. And I don't think we've ever – I'll be honest, I really am so appreciative of Neil joining me on this, because I think this is outside the comfort zone of most merchants. I think merchants are real heroes in our community. And I think that they don't talk often enough because I don't think they feel comfortable doing so. So please, I'm hoping if anything comes out of this quarantine – and out of this attitude next year, I think that I want festivals to recognize the value of the merchants. I want the community to recognize the value of their merchants. And even if they don't like the idea that they're part of a capitalistic society, we are a part of a capitalistic society. And the merchants are not capitalist or greedy in any way. And if they are, well, a little bit, so what? But this is the way our society works, and they're working within that context. Hmm? They would love to be – I know a lot of merchants who would still be merchants and sell and make art and sell objects, even if there was a universal basic income. Hmm? They would just feel more comfortable doing it.
Right.
But they are there to do so. All right. So, folks, I think that's a wrap today. We actually had a moment of excitement. Any last thoughts, Neil?
Oh, when you can get back out, support your local merchants, go talk to them, go see the shops, come to festival, and support it. Even now, go online, find us online. Most of the metaphysical shops and stuff I know here in Kansas City all have a Facebook page, all have a website somewhere that you can always ask questions. They will ship stuff to you now. They will even probably drop stuff off to you just because we need the business. So support your local merchant.
And I think one of the things you don't know, people don't know, but I'll give you a heads up, PaganWorld.international will be a directory by Monday. We're going to start setting up a directory. I've been working on it, and I'll have it for you guys on Monday. We'll talk about storage methods, and we'll talk about our directory. Because, after all, I really want us – yeah, I want us to be successful. And so with that, we bid you adieu. BlogTalkRadio.com/PaganWorld. Share it with everybody and let everybody know, you know, we are out there for you. Blessed be, folks.
Have a wonderful day, evening, or morning, wherever you are in the world.